dear brothers and sisters, I am a man like you, but I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master in India and learnt about the mystery of life, what it is, how that can be solved. The fact remains that God made man. Man is the oldest of all philosophies and religions. Religions were made by man for a spiritual and moral uplift. These religions were made for man, and man was not made for religions. We had to make the best use of them to achieve the ultimate goal of the man's life, which all masters are unanimous in saying that the highest goal before us as a man is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves first. That is why all masters who came in the past, they gave out, "Man, know thyself." Christ did say so. Old Greeks also said the same way. North East Seton. And books of the Hindus also say, "Know thyself." Guru Nanak said, "Unless you know yourself, you are in a grand delusion." What is meant by knowing oneself? For this purpose, we have joined the various schools of thought, which are called by different names and religions, you see, and we have taken on the badges of those particular schools of thought to denote that we are just studying in some particular school or college. That school is creditable from whom many students passed. That religion is really creditable from which many lovers of God turn out. Those who can see God, know God, just as I see you and you see me. That is the ultimate goal set up before us by all religions which we have done. So all religions are blessed. To remain in some religion is a blessing. If not, there will be corruption, and we will have to just raise a new religion, you see. There are already so many religions. What is the use of raising any new? The fact remains, in all religions, masters came. History shows like that. And by their thorough study of teachings, we find that they said the same thing. They all said our souls are of the same essence as that of God. We are conscious entities. Our soul is made of consciousness, made of one substance only, and as such it cannot be decomposed, so it is eternal. God is also made of one substance, all consciousness, that is also everlasting. We are divine in nature, we are everlasting, but the bodies that we work through are made of matter. Matter is made of elements, and elements are made of atoms. There is a composition of so many things. Whatever is a composition, the time will come that they will decompose. So we are everlasting, of course, but the body that we live in are changing, matter is changing. Our souls are under the control of mind. mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are given up to outward enjoyment so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. If we could control our outgoing faculties and liberate mind from the clutches of outgoing faculties and analyze ourselves from mind, we will know who we are, what we are. So this is a matter of practical self-analysis. In any religion, the same teachings always you'll find in every religion, and all masters who came in the past, they gave out the same thing. Of course, in their own religions, in their own words, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time. So, in this respect, you will find that all religions are blessed, because you find it is told almost in all religions, masters did come up, and they gave out the same thing. We should know ourselves first, so as to enable us to know God. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties. It cannot be known by the intellect or by the vital air. So it is the soul that has to know God. So first thing that we have before us is to know ourselves. So religions that we have joined, you see, this is also said almost all masters have said so. Well, in the current sense you find that do we not know this is body is the temple of God, you see? We are the Holy Ghost. And the God is everlasting, you see? We are spirit in man, and the spirit is everlasting. So all masters say the soul is one with the everlasting, being of the same essence as that of God. But our purpose of joining a various school of thought is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves, because it is the soul that can only know God. Life knows its life. This is a problem before us, how to do it. You find all these religions came into being, into existence, after masters came from time to time. When the masters came, they gave us the same truth, and what was asked next, that they had experience of God, they were conscious to work over the divine plan. To whatever master you refer to, you will find it is always said it is not they who are working, but it is the Father behind them. Simon put question to Christ, then. Christ asked, who? Do you know who I am? And he said, you are the Son of God. You are the living Son of God. Then he said, no outer thing has helped you to say that. It is God's blessing, of course. So some people asked him, well, it would have been much better, or it would have sufficed if you would let us know your Father. You were a little indignant over it and said, for so long a time I have been with you. You did not know that it was the Father working through me. He went so far to say, who has seen me has seen the Father. And no man can go to the Father except through the Son. So sons, these masters who came in the past, they are the children of light. They are the sons of light. When they come, they are light. And they give light to the world. So all masters, you see, we are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got scriptures which are a fine record of the valuable sayings, words of wisdom the various masters gave out in their time. Had you come before them, then we would have not had all these scriptures with us. About 500 years back, you would not have found the valuable volume of prayer divinity that we have got in the six scriptures. About 1500 years back, had we gone back, we would not have the scriptures of the Mohammedans. If you go further 2000 back, Bible would not have been revised. Similarly, if you go back to 5000 years, even the Buddhist literature would not have been revised. So my point of view is that we are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got the valuable world of wisdom, which has worth tons of emeralds and gold with us today. What do they contain? The scriptures give only what the masters had experienced with God and with knowing oneself, what things helped them on the way and what things stood in the way. So by reading them, that develop or create in us an interest, we should also have the same experiences that they had with God in their lives. So by reading scriptures, when you belong to any religion, the first thing is enjoined on us to read the scriptures daily, understand them. But you'll find, whatever is given in the scriptures, it are the personal experiences they had with God. They saw God and they gave out what they saw, you see. Now, to understand the right import of them, we need somebody who goes on the way, who got some experience on the way. He will be able only to give you a right interpretation of what is meant by the scripture. Those who will just give at the level of intellect, you'll find they won't be able to do full justice to the work. That's the reason why so many commentaries have been with us on the same work, and one differs from the other. Had they been on the way, had they the same experiences that they had, then they would have given only one meaning to a word. Now we find, you see, when we say word, honey, we mean by saying one word, one meaning that I say, not two, three, four. I say this is what? I mean this is what. Not by this, I don't mean a house or a building. Similarly, when the Master gave out whatever they had to say, they saw and gave out in their language. Language is sometimes one word has so many meanings. So those who have not had that experience, they give from their own language. That is the reason why there are so many schools of thought out there. Had they seen, had the same experience, but the Master said, they would have known only one experience. So we have seen this town now, where we are now, at Boston, yes, some people go back. They came from different countries. They gave some account of the town, you see. They wrote in their own languages, of course. The man who has not been to this place, you will find their statements do not agree 100%. Salient points will agree. Man may have given more detail of a certain thing, the other may have given only little of it, and the third man might have omitted something altogether. Those who have not seen this place, they read what is this, the standard related sign. If a man who has been to Boston, in those books written by them is placed before him, oh yes, it means that I have seen, you see. So, what I mean to say is that scriptures are there. By my experience of the various study of the various scriptures of the various religions, I find the basic principles the same. Of course, they use the different words, they mean the same thing. And what they meant, that can be even now experienced. So, we can read scriptures, but we can have only the right import thereof when you sit at the feet of somebody who has been on the way back to God, truly speaking. Now that's a matter of inference, or a matter of feelings, or a matter of emotions, you see. So that is the cause of difference of so many schools of thought that we have got, because we have not seen it. I'll give you an example generally. Two examples I'll put before you. One, they say certain blind men passed by an elephant, they don't hear the elephant. One, each one of them tried to just touch the elephant to know what this elephant could be. Somebody's hand fell on the legs, you see, the whole pillar like. The other fell on the stomach, belly, the whole barrel like. Third, laid his hands on the ears, the whole child like. So each one was right in their own way, you see, they vanished and said, no, I know, God is like sunlight, and elephant is like sunlight. The other said, no, it is pillar like. Third time it is barrel like. One man came by, he had eyes to see. He said, well, yes, sir, you're all right. You are different aspects of the elephant, what could it be? It's not all elephant. Similarly, had we seen God, and what the masters, when they saw God, you see, had experience with God, if we had the same experience with the same inner eye open to see that reality, then we will be doing the same thing as others said, you see. So that is, you see, the reason of the differences in the various schools of thought. When the masters come, they go. They say, well, that's not the meaning, you see. They regard that old thing, truth is one, target is one, artists are many. Statements given by those who have seen him, they are one. Those who have not seen him, they have got their own versions, according to the different level of thinking they are given out. So philosophy deals with theories, and mysticism deals with reality. These are the sayings and mysticism. You remember Christ said to his disciples, blessed are ye, because you see things, what the old prophets and the righteous men and all the rest could not see. You hear things that old prophets and righteous men could not hear. Can we see? That's the point, you see. Can we see God? Master say two kinds of statements we have. One is, nobody has seen God at any time. And some say, yes, they have seen Him too. These are two different statements, diametrically opposite. But they are correct, because they are given from the different levels. That God, which is nameless, wordless, absolute God, which did not come into being, that nobody can see. When it came into being, into expression, into action, that God in expression power, we can see and we can hear. What is that, you see? God is light, God is life consciousness, God is love. And those masters who with the mouthpiece of God, God is in everybody, I tell you, know how it is without it. Our bodies work so far as we are in the body, and we are in the body, so far as some controlling power is keeping us in the body. This man's body is a wonderful house we live in. It has nine apertures, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, mouth, and two genital organs, but we cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out. Some power is bringing it back, controlling it back into the body. It cannot remain outside. Surgeons perform operations of the stomach with loss or of the brain that lasts for hours together, but we cannot run away out of it. That very controlling power which is keeping us in the body, that is what we call God. That very power is controlling all the universe. You see, so many galaxies of stars, There are so many planets going around their orbit. Scientists tell us, well, there are such like planets which have been seen on their orbit only once in 5,000 years. You have to think how grand this whole cosmos is, you think? Our thought battles. What is that power that controls everything in harmony? No, if one cannot conflict with the other. So that power is called God, that can be known by us. When we analyze ourselves from mind and all those faculties, that is matter of self-analysis. So all masters of the game, you see, they realize, they said, I am the light. When they come, they give light to the world. They said, it is not I speaking, but it is God speaking to me. And this thing you find palestinely from all religions. And at the same time, when they realize God, you see, man's macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man's body. You have three planes in the macrocosm, physical, astral, and causal. And God has given us three bodies to work through these planes. But pity it is, we do not know how to leave the physical body. God has given us this concession, but we are not able to use it. But at the time of death, this body is shaken off. I say, this is my hat, this is my turban, this is my coat, I can put it off. I say, it is my body too, can I put it off? If you learn how to put it off, this is what Master says, learn to die so that you may begin to live. When you take up at will to rise above the body consciousness, what is called to be born anew, to die daily, when you rise up body consciousness, you enter the kingdom of God, and there are so many mansions in the house of Allah, so many planes. When you traverse physical, astral, and causal, go beyond, you see, well, God is in me and I am in God. I and my Father are one. These are the statements we find in the scriptures of many masters. Christ said so, I and my Father are one. Guru Nanak says, I am speaking the same what God speaks to me. Guru Arjan says, I and my Father are one, of course, in other languages, of course. Similar other things, 10th Guru says so, God says, I am just, you are my son, go in the world and do this work. So all masters who realized, who rolled about physical, vessel, causal planes, knew themselves and saw that Father was working through them, and they were in the Father, they were the two persons through which that God worked, gave guidance to the child of humanity. So this conscious co-worker, being conscious co-worker of the divine plan, arises when we rise, we learn how to rise above body consciousness. First thing, with the first iron curtain that we have to rise, transcend. And further also the other two coverings we take off, we see we are so truly speaking. We are some experience of God within us. And what is that experience, as I told you in the beginning, is God is light. When you learn how to rise above body consciousness, you find light. You are not to visualize it, mind that, not to premeditate it, simply by inversion, by opening the inner eye. That's what I said, you see, in the Bible you find eye is the light of the body. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. How did eye become single? A very clear statement. He has not given alone that statement, but in other scriptures too. Tulsi says, when you look between the, and behind the two pupils of the eye, you find the light. And that life source, when you draw from outside, within, and then rise above senses, that eye is open. That is, the eye is called as the third eye, or the single eye, or the latent, or the sin nature, you see. This is the mystery of life that we have to solve, you see. Master, whenever they come and look here and learn to die so that you may begin to know. All Master say that. Guru Nanak says you learn to die daily 100 times a day at will. This is what is necessary to have to be born anew. When Master says, you see, Christ says, you must be reborn. And Nicodemus told him, Master, we are old. How can we re-enter the womb of the mother? And he told them, well, look here, Christ is born of the flesh, and spirit of the spirit. Well, this Christ is not reborn, but Christ born, also exists in the teachings of the Master, you see. They say you must, we say we must be born in Christ. They say we must be born in other Masters, you see. So Christ power or God power or the Guru power is the same, that is God power working through human power. Human soul do leave us, but that God power never leaves us. If that power is working through us, we can become conscious of that only when we rise above body. First we withdraw from outside, within, tap inside what Emerson said, and then rise above body consciousness, senses. Then you see the light is there. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you see the light of heaven. And then the Masters also say the same thing. If your outgoing faculties are inverted, you find light there. All these terrible things, terrible findings of the Masters are there, of course, in their own language. Now we want somebody who knows the way. He will be able to give you the right import of the same. The intellectuals, what do they say? Well, it is only intellectual land. There is nothing like that. But it is substantial light. You know, a child can see it. If some, you happen to meet somebody who is on the way. So truly speaking, most of us who belong to various religions, we are being drifted into action. For the reason, we have taken the first steps to read scriptures. But then nobody tells us the true import of them. They are rare, even now, this I don't mean to say the world is without them, but rare they are, generally they just give interpretation from the level of their own thinking, intellect. That is their various things, you see, they interpret as intellectual life only. I had a good chance to talk today, even if I will professor, I will charge of the religions here, and they have to, you see, truth remains truth. One truth is given by all the body light that they saw light, in which even the children even now can see light, and anybody can see light. Only there must be something with the competency to raise your soul, yourself, from outgoing faculties in body. With one word of his, it does not cost him anything, you see. In a promotion, if hundreds and thousands of animals drink water, that is not defeated, you see. The souls which are in touch with the perennial souls, God, you see, the mouthpiece of God, they got great competency, you see. You say, well, what about us? I think each one of us has got competency. God is over soul, you see. Highest soul, you might say. So much competence and strength is God, with one word of His, the whole creation came to be. And our souls are the same in the sense of God. We have also great strength in us, but our soul has been just distributed, are divided into so many ways to outgoing faculties that feel very feeble. Just rays of the sun do not burn anybody, But if the way that passed through a conscious lens, you see the other thing on the other side, it will be burnt. That can put the other thing on the other side aflame. Similarly, our being faculties, our attention, which is the outward expression of our soul, if that is withdrawn from outside, concentrated at the seat of the soul in the body, well, it has great strength. And that soul which has become the mouthpiece of God, he can work wonders. So if we do come across such a person, well, he is able to give us about the body consciousness, to born anew, and open the inner eye, to bear testimony, this is called light of God. So these have been the teachings of the various masters who came at different times in various religions. We know we have taken steps of the outer elementary, of the preliminary steps. We are blessed. These are good actions, to say prayers, to perform certain rites and rituals. They are good actions. They are meant for developing love and devotion from God. But we have to take a further step further, which is called spirituality, which is called mysticism. If we dwell that way, we, after separation of the ground, we rise above senses, we will have the same experience that are found in the very scriptures which are with us today. This is what I have found by the parallel study of religions, and that can be experienced even now. Such like persons are close to the grace of God. Such like persons were also rare in the past, even now they are rare. But of course, there is those who are seeking for truly after God. God makes some arrangement to bring him in contact somewhere where he can be put on the way. So this is, I have found, you see, general view of the religions that I have studied and put before you for your calm consideration. Yes, 15
minutes. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
You may have an opportunity now to ask our guest questions that may occur to you. And just in the case, there won't be the questions. Mr. Chairman.
We don't have any religion in India that doesn't teach Mao, but just teaches worship of God. Any particular religion, maybe I'm trying to find out about it.
I tell you, I didn't do the digest of the thing within half an hour, you cannot expect everything. That is, I told you, the exotic side of the religions, the first one, reading of scriptures, performing certain rites and rituals, saying prayers, chastity of life, purity of heart, ethical life, a stepping stone to spirituality. All religions separate. Not one, but all. The best I know. First question is, be blessed are the pure in heart that keep, that he, a goat, that can keep all. Mormons say so, Hindus say so, Sikhs say so, Jainists say so, Buddhists say so. Sermon on the Mount is for the same purpose. Jainism got four sorts of fastings to serve the same purpose. Buddhists had eightfold path of Buddha, and so on. So, purity of life is the first step. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Without that we cannot go. Those who are just engaged in the outer, given up to the outward enjoyments, well, they must have normal life, you see, self-discipline. To withdraw from outside, those who are given up, addicted to the outside enjoyments, they cannot invert. So, purity of heart, ethical life is the setting stone to spirituality.
Are there other questions here? What, I just asked the question.
Yes, yes, more than that. Okay, I'll tell you, please.
Can
they? Let's go. Yes, yes. Yes, I'll do that.
I'm just concerned, sir, to know, in the classic formulation within Christianity and and also of Judaism, of course, of its doctrine of man and man's relationship to God, is the doctrine of sin, that is to say, separation. What view do you hold of man's separation from God? I mean, how does he achieve this relationship if through sin, there, as I understand, he's separate?
Well, I think the basic question is arises how we came into the world, is it? The basic is that we were sent down to the world. Why are we sent down? That is the reason. He wanted to create world and he wanted to send us back, we came here. When we came here, we have to abide by the rules of the plane where we are working. As you sow, so shall you reap. This is the Hebrew why he sent us to the world. And it is his journey. Which all masters used to reply in a very simple way. When the why he sent us to the world, he said, well, you better go to God himself and ask him why he sent us to the world. When you go to him, this mind won't be there, this intellect won't be there. All these questions will disappear, you see. Why, you see, is there a seed before and a tree before? And before and the end before? These are within certain limits, you see, what you call the tree good or the tree plain. When you rise above it, you know the right and wrong what it is. But it's going on. So why we are here we, as we sow, so shall we reap. All masters say like that. We sow corny things, we cannot, corny bushes, we cannot sow far, fighting grapes. This is what the law says.
Are you
following it? He's following it.
Another question, sir.
Yes, yes. Most welcome. What I say is the best I know.
This is the best you know.
That's the best I can do.
That's as good as anybody can do.
Thank you.
Are there other questions here from our friends? Well, there are a great many questions that ask, but we don't have that time anyway. Very fine.
How
would
a man interpret what is a spirit?
What is it?
He wants to know, sir, how you would interpret what is a spirit? Or the spirit?
What is the spirit?
What is the spirit? Well, that's a matter of experience. Cannot be given up in words. You can analyze yourself, know it what it is. When a man eats some sweetmeats, if you ask him to explain what is this sweetness, you can only feel and make others feel. That the inner eye is not the outer senses that can feel it, but as the inner eyes can see it when that eye is open. You see? Thine eye is full of, thy whole body shall be full of light. When we know our attention is withdrawn from outside, within and rise of our senses, we quite see. Blessed are they that see. The seeing arises by rising of our body consciousness. Until then, we simply look for ourselves from the level of the mind body, at the level of the senses. We cannot even dream of what is above. And the Prophet Muhammad says, unless you rise above these senses, you cannot know thought of what is going on above. But the first thing is to know ourselves. We know ourselves only when we rise above, analyze ourselves to mind and matter and outward faculties. People can experience. As I told you, such persons were rare in the past. Even now they are rare, but the world is not without them. If you come across any such person, you will bear testimony to so.
Are there other questions?
What do Christian science mean when they say all is mind?
The lady wants to know what the Christian science means when it says all is mind, that is to say
non-existence. Yes, yes. All is mind. Well, mind, there's a difference, you see, between the East and the West. Western say mind is conscious. And he still say mind is not conscious, it is soul that gives consciousness to the mind. Soul is under the control of mind. And mind is under the control of, outgoing faculties are under the control of mind. mind is a link between the soul and the body. God made it with some purpose in view. It is so subtle that it joins the soul. It is so gross that it joins the body. Otherwise soul cannot be connected. It is a connecting link between the two. It takes strength from the soul. And if you, just I'll give you an example for that. Soul, you are absorbed in some thought, your attention is absorbed in something. Altogether that your mind does not wake up any questions. It is mind that wakes up questions. What is mind? It is the modulations in the subconscious self. So when that gets strength from the soul, that works. If the soul is withdrawn from that, mind cannot work. And mind, and also outgoing faculties cannot work, you see. The living example, I'm sure you sometimes, you're living in such, absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you, your ears are open, you do not hear. Somebody comes, just sits by you, touches you, you are absorbed in very much thought, and you do not know who came, who touched you. Newton was just sitting by a roadside, solving certain mathematical problems, and a band went by him playing. Later on some man came up and asked him, well, is the band passed by this way? He said, I do not know. So our attention gives strength to the mind, and further both gives strength to those in the faculties. So it is all mind, this is first the three aspects of mind. One is that mind which is controlling the physical body, that is called the physical mind. The other, which works in the astral plane, the third causal plane, that is Brahmandi mind, what it calls, you see. And it is something beyond. This is necessary to carry on the world of the world, of the work of the whole world. For that person God created it, those worlds. Just reach that point of mind, up to the three planes, controlling that, they say it is all mind. That's true in the three worlds, for working the outer world. When you transcend it, then there is no mind. That pure spirit from which it draws strength. Now our mind is just attached to the outside things. It is given up because it feels some pleasure out of it. But really that pleasure is within our own self, our attention is drawn into that. When that is withdrawn, there is no desire happiness. So mind, like parasitical plant, which grows on the tree, it has no roots, but it dries up that portion of the tree on which it is spread, you see. Similarly, mind is something that gets strength from the conscious self and just becomes a retard our, between ourselves and the old self, you see. If we analyze ourselves from mind, if we know ourselves, we become the mouthpiece of God. This is what the philosophy says, our mouthpiece says.
Just a closing comment.
Thank you.
Just to comment,
thank you.
It seems to me that one might say, you asked about the question of the spirit, that all of man's, you can say no to this. All of man's religion arises, I think, from his capacity for self-transcendence. That is to say, of being able to stand apart and is aware of himself as something not physical, yet at the same time is aware of himself as a physical being. And the quest for the meaning of human existence arises out of this.
By being separate, under the control of mind and matter. If he rises above it, he sees I am my father of one. You know that natural just happiness, duality is formed naturally. That's right.